that you're being here. Please remain seated. We're going to sing God is So Good. And I'm going to make a special request this morning. All you boys and girls in this assembly today, may I please hear you sing out real loud. Now let me repeat that. All you boys and girls, you love this song, I hope, and I want to hear you sing. Mom and daddies, y'all sing too, and everybody sing out. Let's sing together, God is So Good, because He is. And I know He loves to hear us sing about God, His being so good. God. Thank you so much. It's even better than a sermon, I tell you what, right now. But we're just thrilled to have all of you with us. I've got some great news to tell you. Shirley Long called and told me the other day, and I'm repeating today what she told me. Millie Winnegar has now been moved to Michigan, and she is living with her daughter. And guess what happened? I mean, we're all excited about this. She went to church with her sister last Wednesday night up in Michigan. And guess what? She is so happy, and they're happy, and we're happy, and we're thrilled to death over that. I'm glad I could make that announcement to you today. I tell you, I love this church. We got a wonderful group of people, and all these little boys and girls, and mamas and daddies and everybody. We just appreciate you so much. This morning, we're going to study about getting closer to God. I need to get closer. I think probably most all of you say, I want to get closer with God. I had a fellow that I, bless his heart, he was a fine man, and he'd had a surgery, had a problem with, physical problem. And I saw him one night, and he said, Brother Guy, guess what? And I said, what is it? And he needed to lose a little weight, and he said, I made up my mind on two things. And I said, what is it? And he said, one of it is, I'm going to lose some weight. Ah, that's good, but the best one was yet to come. He said, I'm going to get closer to God. He only had a week. He died. Closer to God. Being close to God. Near my God to thee. I was going over all these songs that we sing. Closer, closer to God. And then with that, you know how to get close to God? Get close to your family. I tell you about my little grandson, 9 years old. Going to be 10 in September the 5th. And we were sitting waiting for his dad to pick him up at the house yesterday. He's sitting on my lap. And we were talking about days gone by when I would pull up in the driveway he'd be at the front out there on the porch and just waiting to run across the yard to see me. And he said, and I remember too, people, that I was told that when I was younger that you'd let me cuddle up in your arms and I'd fall asleep in your arms. Closer to God. That's what we want to be like. Like a grandpa with his grandchildren. Like a mother and a daddy who loves their own. We want to be closer to each other. And truly, here is a man that we can study about. His name is David. And in Acts chapter 13, here we find that the Apostle Paul is writing, and he goes back, and he talks about the time that God was going to make a choice. When Samuel was sent over to Jesse's house to appoint a young man to be king, and his name was David, guess what? When Eliab, the oldest one, came out, and Samuel thought, surely this is the man that God has selected and approved to be king. And God told Samuel, no, that's not the one. They went through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And finally, Samuel said, do you have another one? Yeah, he said, we got a young one. David out in the fields keeping the sheep. He said, you bring him in. And he brought him in, and God told Samuel, that's the man that I've chosen. I've done what? I've chosen him. What a tremendous blessing to be chosen of the Lord. God's chosen you. He's chosen me to be His people, to serve Him, to bring honor and glory unto the great God. You're in a place for a reason. I'm in a place for a reason. And truly, when we look at this man, David, his father's name was Jesse. He had 7 brothers. And not only that, he had 7 wives. And then his children were Tamar, a daughter, and then there were probably 19, and then, of course, sons born to his concubines, not even listed. David was he was a man of many contrasts. He'd have his highs, and then he'd have his lows. You ever been like that? I mean, just be on fire for the Lord, and then just kind of being depressed, discouraged, wondering why. But he was single-minded, committed to God. Because in the midst of all of the affairs that he had and all the things that he did in his life, even though his brothers, they chastised him, and he was constantly running away from King Saul, and he was in the warfare to defend his kingdom. He was a great conqueror of many men. But David had a problem. He couldn't conquer himself. You have that problem? Sometimes I do. Yes. Why? Look what the Bible tells us about David. Well, he made friends of Jonathan, Saul's son, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1. And they had a tremendous friendship together. David is included also in the Hall of Fame over in Hebrews 11, verse 32. And you know what? Can you imagine? Here, this man, who 1,000 years later, a man will be called the Son of David, and his name be Jesus Christ. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, and then in Matthew chapter 1, but the most important thing that you can say about him is what Paul tells these brethren that he's speaking to was that he was a man after God's own heart. Yes, he sought God wanted a man to serve as king. He didn't get one in Saul. Saul was rejected. But when he found David, David was selected because God doesn't look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart of man. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. And Jesus said in Matthew 15, out of the heart, what kind of heart do you have? Out of the heart proceed, Matthew 15, 19 through 20. And then in Romans chapter 6, 16 through 18, know ye not to whom ye have yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin or of death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you are the servants of sin. But now obey that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Yes, David was a man that had a heart that was prepared to serve Almighty God. Secondly, God helps us to do what we must do to serve Him. Yeah, God gave David strength. David needed it. He would pray, and these boys, our young preachers, are studying from the book of Psalms. Boy, just doing such a good job. And in these Psalms, so many of them, David And David's writing these passionate, his passion for worship, his passion to become closer to God. And he'll tell about his own life and then repent and ask God to forgive him because he was a man that wanted to be closer to God. I read a story some time ago during the Depression. And in this story about a poor family, many people were poor then. They didn't have very much. Marjorie Talcott was married and had one child during the Great Depression. The family managed to scrape their way through, but as Christmas approached one year, Marjorie and her husband were disappointed that they would not be able to buy any presents. And can you imagine Christmas time? No presents, no store-bought presents. A week before Christmas, they explained to their 6-year-old son, Pete, that there would be no store-bought presents this Christmas. They didn't have any money. They didn't have the means of going to the store and buying for them. But I'll tell you what we can do, said Pete's father. We can make pictures of the presents we'd like to give to each other. But it'd be something. You can't have a new car, but you can get a picture of it. Picture, put it on a Christmas tree. Can't have a new house, but you can get a picture of it. Boy, that was a busy week. Marge and her husband set to work. Christmas Day arrived and the family rose to find their skimpy little tree made magnificent by the picture presents they had adorned it with. There was luxury beyond imagination in those pictures. A black limousine and red speedboat for Dad. Wow. Look at the picture. Can you imagine it? On a skimpy little tree. A black limousine and a red speedboat for Dad. A diamond bracelet and fur coat for Mom. A camping tent and a swimming pool for their little boy, Pete. And then the little 6-year-old boy pulled out a present. A crayon drawing of a man, a woman, and a child with their arms around each other laughing. And under the picture was just one word. Us. Mama, Daddy, and the little boy. They hugged each other. And all he put on it was us. Years later, Marjorie writes that it was the richest and most satisfying Christmas they ever had. It took a present-less Christmas to remind Marge and her family that the greatest gift we can ever offer is ourselves, our presence. God helps us to do what we have to do. He's going to help you and He's going to help me. As you get older, there's so many decisions you have to make. But we remember as David where our strength comes from. In Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. In Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, here we find that the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness, but be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave you. What a tremendous blessing. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear? God is so good, isn't He? God helps us to do what we must do to serve Him. Peter denied Him. That must have broken the heart of Jesus. And yet, when Peter went out, what did Peter do? He showed Jesus he was truly sorry for what he had done. And now he gets strength. And he becomes the first spokesman, the first gospel preacher in the kingdom of God after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts 2. It's better to fear God than to be 9 feet tall. David, he is going forth against Goliath. David, who are you going with? Saul put on his garments. Told him to put on his armor wear. He tried them on. These don't fit. What does David do? He puts them aside. And he takes with faith in God to go forth. And who'd you rather be with in that battle? David feared God and loved God. And he knew God would be his strength. And I want to tell you what, friends. When we walk with God and do His will, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, remember that good sermon last Sunday night by Matt Burns. What did God say? I will be with you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name. Yea, though I walk, I will fear no evil, for Thou aren't with me. Old people, middle-aged people, young people, when you walk with God, when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, let me tell you something. God's made a promise that His Son, if you're one of His children, will be with you. Yet, we have to talk about something else. This man, a king, this man, a warrior, this man, a great psalmist, this man who had such highs and then some lows, found a low night. When David allowed one night of lust with Bathsheba, that had disastrous consequences in his life. David knew now how horrible the consequences are when you sin. But one thing that he did learn, that we must learn, that God has promised that He will forgive us. David acknowledged in Psalms 51 in verse 3, he admitted his sins in 2 Samuel 12, 13. But David said, "For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me." He's right, and after it's all happened, David did something terrible. And look at the consequences, a lifetime of regret. Forgiveness, yes. God said, "I've laid aside your sin. You shall not die." Yes, because he admitted it. When Nathan looked right at him, and Nathan says to a man that is so mad because he had just been told the story of a poor man had one ewe lamb, and the rich man goes out who has a flock, could have taken any one out, not even missed it almost. And instead, he goes to the poor man and he takes the ewe lamb that poor man loved, held in his bosom, and now he kills him, kills the sheep rather, and prepares for his guest the lamb that belonged to someone else. And David's so mad. And then Nathan said, "I'm talking to you, David. Thou aren't the man." How many of us this morning, beloved, when the finger is pointed to us, how many of us have to say, I've sinned? I'm the one. Forgive me. And here's something David learned. As bad as his sin was, as terrible as it was, he could be forgiven. And he was forgiven. But he had to also bear the consequences of his sins. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, a beautiful statement, David was a man after God's heart that he chose. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 50, David had triumphed over that old big guy, 9-foot-tall Goliath. In 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, David is greatly distressed. Their people are ready to stone him to death. But he turns and finds strength in the Lord his God. David said to Nathan, "I've sinned against the Lord." And He tells later, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? David was a man that had a heart that God loved, because that heart would make sure that when it made a mistake, it would be admitted and then corrected. That's what God's wanting out of me. That's what He's wanting out of you. Yes, friends, draw near to God with a true heart. In full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 10:25-22. Here are several things I want to suggest to you today to get closer to God. I want to start practicing myself, trying to. I want you to remember them. First of all, relax. In your time when you can, focus your mind on God. Listen to what Paul says. Do you believe him? I do. Colossians 3:2. He says, set your affections on things that are above. Where are we going? Above? Where we want to be forever? To be with God. Don't know when, but we want to be there. No wonder the Apostle Paul could say, I've fought a good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day. Not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. That's for you. That's for me. I look out in this audience and I look in these pews and I can just visualize in my mind men, women, who used to sit there with us, our husbands, our wives, grandmas and grandpas, sons and daughters that are already gone. Already gone. They won't be with the O'Neill family on the earth anymore. They're gone. And when will be our time? No wonder Paul said, above. Where are you headed? Set your affections on things that are above and not upon the things that are upon the earth. Number two, read the book of God. I can't emphasize that enough. I like it when my grandson would say, Peepaw, let's read out loud the Word of God. One day we were reading a whole book and he said, let's do this. You read this. And he said, I'll take two chapters. Young people, that's the most beautiful thought. Know you love the Bible. And for all of you mom and daddies in the audience this morning, you grandma and grandpas that read the Bible with your children, that you take time with them. Boy, just listen to what God says. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Psalms 85:8. Listen to it carefully. Thirdly, reflect. Think about the reading. In Psalms 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That'll draw you closer. That'll bring you nearer, my God, to thee. And then record. You ever do that? As you're thinking sometimes and there's a passage of Scripture that comes to your mind, you just have to write it down. And you begin to think about that passage, analyze that passage. Surely, even memorize. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalms 119:11. And then, do a whole lot of praise. Don't just say words. Talk to God. Speak to the Lord of heaven. He's not interested in a multiplicity of words. He's interested in you. He's interested in me. What are you saying to Him? You want Him to hear you. Say it the way you know you mean it. And He knows you mean it too. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Yes, we can remember the prodigal son. He'd gone, wasted his life. He needed to be nearer to God. He needed to be back in his father's house. And truly, the only time he ever came to himself to really do something about it was when he was away and he knew the way back home. And he got up and he said, I'm going home. I'm going home. Woo, how wonderful to know that we still can read and study and do the things that God wants us to do. And that is to just simply serve and do the Father's will. We make a mistake so often, don't we? Closer to God means we get closer to each other. A church really caring for each other. Like our dear sister Millie that we just talked about. We've all been concerned. Now we're just so thrilled. So thrilled that our sister's going to be taken care of. So thrilled that she's able to go to worship. We miss her, but she's in a place now that will help her. And we're getting all these good reports. Boy, is she happy. I read another story. Got to share it with you. Breaks your heart. And yet, I hope it says something to you. The story goes back some time ago. A father punished his 3-year-old daughter for wasting a roll of gold wrapping paper. Money was tight, and he became infuriated when the little girl tried to decorate a box. And nevertheless, the little girl brought the gift to her father the next morning and said, "Daddy, this box is for you." He'd already torn up, had all kinds of difficulties because she had wrapped up, he thought, wasted a roll of gold wrapping paper. The father was embarrassed by his earlier reaction, but his anger flared again when he found out the box was empty. And he just yelled at her. Can you imagine the daddy yelling at a little 3-year-old? Well, don't you know when you give someone a present or a gift, there is supposed to be something inside? You have the box. It's empty. And the little girl looked up at him with tears in her eyes and she cried out, "Oh, Father, it's not empty at all." I blew kisses into the box and they're all for you, Dad. Boy, oh boy. The father was crushed. He put his arms around this little girl and he begged for her forgiveness. Those kisses that she had blown in that box being wrapped with that gold wrapping paper. And as the story goes, on a short time later, an accident took the life of the little girl. It's also told that her father kept that gold box by his bed for many years. And whenever he was discouraged, he would take out an imaginary kiss and remember the love of this little girl who had put it in there. Yes, my friends, the moral of that story is this. Be very careful with your words. And I tell you what, our little kids sometimes do make a lot of mistakes, but so do we. And let's be compassionate with them as we ask God to be compassionate with us. Yes, when we look at the Word of the Lord, we see songs like I was looking over for this lesson. Near my God to Thee. That's what I want to be. Near to the heart of God. Closer to Thee. Near to Thy side. Nearer, still nearer. And nearer the cross of Jesus. And if you're not a Christian this morning, here is water what to hinder you to be baptized. And if you are a Christian and you're not close to God because of sin in your life, ask God to forgive you. Make sure that you are serving God with a true, honest, simple heart. His wonderful invitation is yours. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." That's for you, for you, for you, and for me. If you need to come to Him today, come to Jesus now, won't you, and obey Him while together we stand Him.